Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hey, this is Eric Ainge, the Eric Ainge Show, Brian Rice. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. And listen, they recognize that many families and partners depend on the services MIG provides, and they want you to know how their team has shown incredible fortitude in this time of considerable uncertainty. And MIG is committed to using every tool at their disposal to ensure their employees are safe and their clients' needs are met. Find out more at MIGonline.com. Brian?
It is that magical time, as Randy Sanders will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. But we play a little game we like to call Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. And that's brought to you by GoTees. GoTees.com is how you find out more about GoTees. GoTees.com. All right, original three states today. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia?
Yes.
Man arrested for watching adult content at an Applebee's. Man arrested for watching adult content at an Applebee's.
He's just live streaming on his tablet or whatever at an Applebee's, huh? Or he's watching
on his phone. Yes,
on his phone. That is just the worst. I don't necessarily have a state that I like to stereotype for adult content, so unfortunately, when I don't know where to go, I usually land on Florida. So I'm going to say this is a Florida man.
Joel Silverberg.
Yeah, sounds like Florida to me.
Thomasville, Georgia. The
Weird.
Thomasville Police Department said it arrested a man for watching adult content at an Applebee's restaurant. Employees told customers and police they saw Timothy Duggan watching that content on his phone at a table. Some of the customers were under the age of 18. Police say employees were quick to take action. They made the man leave and called police. When they arrived at the scene, police found him hiding in a nearby bush. All right.
Jeez.
He went and hid in the bushes. All right. Next one. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Man sprayed bottle labeled as COVID-19 on doors of businesses.
Wow. What
man
a loser.
After he sprayed a bottle of COVID-19 on doors of businesses.
Well, or what he said was COVID-19.
Correct.
It clearly wasn't, but still, that's even. It's like, what are you doing? Oh my gosh. I mean, where do you think, like this, I don't even know where to go with this one. You're killing me today, Brian. I'm going to say Alabama. You might still think that you could get away with something like that. Like, haha, this is funny. I mean, I don't even know. It's clearly not Alabama though.
Joel.
I'll go Florida.
It is Jacksonville, Florida.
Golly, what a loser.
Witnesses told investigators that just before noon on Sunday, the man later identified as David Randolph White was seen spraying the substance on and around the entrance doors of a PetSmart. Quote, the suspect reportedly made statements to the employees and patrons that they were now infected with COVID-19, unquote.
Wow.
The sheriff's office posted on its Facebook page. White was arrested on charges that included threatened use of a weapon or hoax weapon of mass destruction. He was released from jail on bond totaling $15,000. A woman who claims to know White posted on Facebook that the incident happened after White went to the pet store with a woman who was undergoing treatment for cancer and got into a dispute with an employee after the employee sprayed the entry doors with disinfectant.
Like they should have.
As they should have. All right, last one. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Man found with heroin and meth asks for photo with deputies who arrested him. Man found with heroin and meth asks for photo with deputies who arrested him.
Hey, guys, you got me. How about a selfie? My gosh. Normally, when there's a drug issue like this, we go Florida. You've hit me with a Georgia, and you've hit me with a Florida today. I'm going to say you're playing the game, Brian, and I'm going to go with Alabama.
Joel Silverberg.
No, I'll go Florida one more time. Why not?
Yeah, drugs, Florida. Normally it is.
if you're not familiar with the rules of the game, we don't have to hit one from every state, but today we did. This is Morgan County, Alabama.
Alabama.
Law enforcement officers obliged, and a smiling and handcuffed Heath Swafford is seen posing next to the three deputies with the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. He was arrested on four felony probation revocation warrants of possession of a controlled substance, theft of property, receiving stolen property, criminal mischief of the first degree. It came after a foot chase, after which Swafford was found to be in possession of heroin and meth. They also found a stolen motorcycle at his home. He's being held without bond.
Well, there you go.
And that's Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented by Goatees and Goatees.com.
Doesn't matter where you're listening to us from, Goatees has clients all over the country. And don't forget, they will price match anything. If it's apples to apples, they'll price match it, whether it's getting clothes for your business, clothes for your home, for an event. Obviously, some of those things probably less on the docket right now. But when they are, you're looking for a great price on anything that they can do, promotional items, they do everything. Goatees.com.
When we come back, we're going to break a little early here so we can have our full time with ETSU football head coach Randy Sanders. Eric, he was your offensive coordinator your first 2 years at Tennessee.
Yep.
You guys have a great relationship and a good opportunity to get him on for you. So what's your best memory of him as we get ready to bring him on next segment?
Randy Sanders is an all-time great, in my opinion, of getting young players ready to play early. And I was watching some of the highlights from different stuff, and the conversations that we would have during the game were, especially my freshman year, were just so, like, if people could have heard those conversations, they would have been like, oh yeah, maybe we need to remember this kid is 18 years old, and Randy Sanders is doing a phenomenal job. He is one of probably the more underappreciated coaches that we've had in our football history here. And I wish him nothing but phenomenal success at ETSU. They got the right guy for the job there for sure. It's going to be fun to catch up with him.
All right, welcome back. Randy Sanders joins us coming up on the other side. We'll take your phone calls a little later on in the show as well. It's 656-9900. It is the Eric Ainge Show.
Hey, this is Eric Ainge for Blue Water Climate Control. BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Right here in the Knoxville and surrounding counties and surrounding areas, Blue Water Climate Control is a veteran-owned, locally-owned heating and air company that can come out and take care of everything that you have going on. Whether you need a brand-new unit, like my boy Brian Rice got installed from them, and, you know, we're people alive. Randy Sanders, Coach Sanders, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you doing?
We're surviving and this,
way,
man.
You're one of my favorite people alive too. So,
anyway, I'm glad we got.
Head. Come on.
I'm glad we got that out there.
Sentimental and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me first off. Go ahead.
I still remember right taking you to the airport in my white Ford pickup I had at that time, and feeling pretty good about our future with you as our quarterback. So, I'll never forget that.
And I'll never forget you guys coming out and seeing me and sending Coach Fulmer out to see me and Coach Atkins out to see me and me picking Knoxville and then choosing to raise my family there. Kind of like you've done in moving, you know, I know you kind of bounced around all over the place when your girls were growing up, but you got back to the part of the country that you love more than anything, and that's God's country here in East Tennessee. What's it been like just to be back at ETSU, at ETSU, back to where you grew up at more or less? What's it been like to be back at ETSU?
Well, it's been great to be back. First of all, it's great to be back in East Tennessee. As you mentioned, it's home, and I've lived some other places, and there's a lot of good places around the country, but I really like East Tennessee. I like the four seasons we have. I like the people. It's just a beautiful area. I was fortunate to get the opportunity to come back to ETSU. It's amazing how things work. You know, Coach Fisher takes a job at Texas A&M, and I was at a point in my career, I had no desire to go to Texas. I was ready to get back closer to home and not farther away. And Coach Torbush stepped down, retired, just about 2 or 3 days after Jimbo made the decision to go to Texas A&M. And fortunately, I was able to get involved and get this opportunity. And it's been a blessing. There's no question about it. I've been fortunate to work with some great people. I've got a great athletic director, a great president, great administrators around, and a lot of good young men, and we're excited about what we're trying to do here. We're not where we want to be yet with the program, but we're heading the right direction.
Coach Sanders, you're trying to bounce back and build off of last season. What has this period been like where your kids have had to go home and you're not real sure when you're going to have them back on campus? How does it affect a program like yours where you're trying to build something going forward with a lot of uncertainty out there?
Well, it affects everyone. There's no question. And first and foremost, the safety of the kids, the safety of the public, and dealing with this pandemic we're going through, that's the first and most important concern that we have. But we're just selfishly speaking, and speaking purely from a football standpoint, we're a young football team. I think we have 17 upperclassmen, juniors and seniors. Everyone else is freshmen and sophomores, so we're really, really young. And spring practice is about players. It's not about the scheme. It's not about plays. It's about players, and young players need spring practice always. That's what it's all about. It's about the freshmen and sophomores and trying to get them to understand what's expected of them and take the step and being ready to play 60, 70 plays a game as opposed to just spot duty here and there. And mm-hmm. not having it really is a blow to us, but it is what it is. And as I've always said, you control what you can control. This is not something that we can control, so we just got to figure out how to make the best of it going forward.
Talking with VFL and current head coach of the ETSU Bucks, Randy Sanders. Coach, one of the things, back when I came out, there were hard early enrollees. That wasn't really a thing. So, it was get here in June, but I didn't even get here until July. And back then, you couldn't deal with the kids in the summertime, for the most part. And yet we still were able to get a couple freshmen ready and to play quarterback here at the University of Tennessee. And I've always said this about you publicly when you get brought up, that I don't know that there's a better coach, and you did it at Florida State, you did it with Jameis Winston, you've done it with at Kentucky, you've done it a lot of different places, but you get players ready to play at a young age, Casey Clawson. I mean, you get guys ready to play that probably shouldn't be ready to play, as good or better than anyone I've seen in college football at any level. So it can be done. You talk about controlling what you can control. It can be done. You can get guys ready to play. And that would be something that I know you can't say this, but anybody listening who's got a kid ready or wants to get a kid ready, I mean, you're as good as there is getting young guys ready to play. So what's some of the stuff that how have you done that over your career? How do you get guys that are 18 years old, freshmen, don't know anything, ready to play at a high level?
Well, Eric, first, I appreciate you saying that. And it seems like I have a number of times in my career been put in situations where you had to get a young guy ready, a freshman, whether it's a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. But one thing I learned from Johnny Majors is you always get the talented guys on the field. You can get a talented guy experience. You can't get an experienced guy talent. So you have to find a way to get the talented guys on the field and get them in positions to do what they can do. First of all, you figure out what they can manage, what they can really handle. I remember when you were playing, there were a number of times I wanted to call certain plays, but I knew that you weren't quite ready for those plays yet. You hadn't had enough practice reps, enough experience with them, and it was awfully tempting sometimes to step out of your comfort zone, but you can't do that with young guys, and you have to do what they're able to do and allow their talent to step forward. And I think that's one thing that I have to constantly remind myself with young guys, and I've had to do it throughout my career, is you do what they know, you do what they can function. It may not be the perfect play, but if they know it and they can execute it with confidence, then their talents and their abilities has a chance to come forward. And you know, that's one of the, getting back to spring practice, that's one of the great things about spring practice, if you have it with young guys, is you get to see what they really know, what they do well, and then you try to put them in positions to do what they do well as often as possible.
Coach Sanders, I was up with Tennessee softball a few weeks ago and saw just what you guys have to work with at ETSU and the new stadium, and then having the ability to practice indoors, which is not something that a lot of your peers in FCS have the chance to do. But just seeing the whole Johnson City area and how all in they are on ETSU, how big can ETSU football be with a little bit of success to drive that?
Well, I think we have a really high ceiling here. That's one of the things that appealed to me about the job. You mentioned our facilities. We have a wonderful stadium. It's not the biggest stadium in the state by any means, but it's a great atmosphere on game day. We have probably the best indoor facility in FCS football from a practice standpoint. Having a dome where they actually used to play games, and we have the new field turf that we bought I guess the year before last. So we have the ability to go inside and practice. The weight room is phenomenal for our level. The locker rooms, everything we have that way is in place. Now we just have to continue with recruiting players, bringing in good players, coaching them, developing them, putting them in situations that they can handle, as we talked about before. I've mentioned several times, if you can win a national championship at the FCS level in Statesboro, Georgia, or what Marshall did, or what Appalachian State did, and boom, don't tell me you can't do it in Johnson City. There's no reason why we can't. It just takes a commitment from, obviously, the coaches, the administrators, the community, which I think we all have, and we just got to keep working, keep pushing, keep grinding, and I have no doubt that we can get there, and that's certainly our goal. Our goal is not to just be competitive and put on a good show for people, you know, on Saturdays during the season. We want to win championships here, and that's the reason I came here. And I know that was the commitment from our administrators when I got here, that we wanted to win championships. So that's what we're working about, and that's what we're trying to get done.
Talking with ETSU head football coach and VFL Randy Sanders, one of the cool things and one of the reasons that I feel a connection to ETSU is, dating back to our current athletic director at the University of Tennessee, mentor of yours and mine and a lot of people, but, Philip Fulmer helping it get football back. And then they get another Tennessee guy and Scott Carter to run the athletic department. And now they got another Tennessee guy and Randy Sanders coaching the football team. They got another Tennessee guy and Steve Forbes coaching the basketball team. There's a lot of University of Tennessee connections and people that are some of the best in the industry coaching and administrating. And you mentioned the community. I mean, yeah, it's all there, but I've always felt such a connection there because of, the Philip Fulmer, Scott Carter, Steve Forbes, Randy Sanders, and it's just a really fun thing. I know you guys pay attention to a lot of everything going on here in Knoxville as well, and a guy that you coached and a guy that you coached with, Jay Graham, is back here in Knoxville. What do you think the University of Tennessee is getting in Jay Graham, bringing him back to UT?
Well, I think having Jay there, and let's not forget T. Martin, getting T. Martin back
of course, 100%.
In Knoxville. Both those guys. To me, one of the things that made the University of Tennessee special, obviously we had great leadership at the top with Coach Dickey and Dr. Joe Johnson, who was our president, and Coach Fulmer. But one of the things that made it special was we had a Tennessee graduate as a head coach. We had two Tennessee graduates as coordinators, and we had a lot of continuity. You remember when you played, there wasn't many new faces amongst the coaching staff.
That was one of the recruiting points from you and Coach Fulmer was we had the longest tenured staff in America when I was getting recruited.
Well, and we did. And the thing we had, Eric, that that you probably felt, you know, that most young men, when they're choosing a school, they want to feel part of family. And we truly had a family. I can remember when Coach Fulmer's oldest daughter was born. You know, I can remember when his children were born. I remember had such a long history with John Chavis, with you know, Pat Washington when he got married, and you know, so we truly had a family. You know, our kids had grown up together. Our wives had often gone from girlfriends to wives. You know, and so there was just such a connection, and it made it a special place when, you know, you were coming out of Hillsboro, Oregon, looking for a place to go to school. You came on campus and you felt the bond. You felt that sense of family that we had. And I think getting guys back like Jay Graham and like T. Martin go a long ways towards building that back to where it needs to be. I think Coach Pruitt and what he's done and his staff, you know, the turnaround they had last year was – absolutely a great credit to the work they did, but the work the players put in. And, you know, but I think the recruiting world, as competitive as it is, you have to have an edge. Everyone has nice facilities. There, you know, a lot of programs have great tradition and great history, but there has to be that edge. And I think that family atmosphere was the edge we had for a number of years.
Coach Sanders, we really appreciate you giving us some of your time. I know it's an interesting time for coaches as you get on virtual recruiting and things like that. But we appreciate your time. We will definitely check in with you as the season gets closer here on the Eric Haynes Show. And glad we can do a little bit to help ETSU build the brand, because it is a special place. Having been there for a few days earlier this year, the support in that community is amazing. And we appreciate being a small part of it.
Well, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to be on your show, and we are really, really proud of what we have here. We think we have a great situation, a great school. You get a good education. You enjoy your time here. You know, basketball, what Coach Forbes has done is phenomenal. Got opportunity to be around him, be around Brittany Zell, and the rest of our coaches. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of excitement. We're looking forward to building this thing and seeing what we can do in the future. And we feel like we're on the right track. We just got to keep going.
When everything clears up, I'll be up there. Until then, give everybody hugs from me, and we look forward to talking to you soon again, Coach.
Great. Eric, thank you. Thanks, Brian.
That is Randy Sanders, the head coach at East Tennessee State, as the ETSU Bucks looking for a bounce back season this year. He mentioned a lot of young players. They start with Mars Hill September the 5th in Johnson City. And then, Eric, it doesn't get any easier in week two at Georgia in week two.
There you go. Go beat them up for everybody else.
I would be fine with that. We'll come back. More of the Eric Haynes Show is next. ABC's Good Morning America, that the Michael Jordan documentary, or the documentary on the final year of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, has been moved up. It will now be coming up in April.
That's huge, man. This is going to be so much fun. I'm, like, legitimately excited. It wouldn't matter if there were live sports or not live sports. When this thing airs, if you haven't seen the trailer for it, like, if you're our age, a little younger, and anybody older, then you remember what was the original three-peats, which were the Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan eras in Chicago. And I don't care what anybody says, by far the greatest basketball player of all time, maybe the greatest professional athlete we've ever had, is Michael Jordan. For so many different reasons, it's MJ. From the trash talking, soul stealing that was MJ, part of that old school, you know, they took that approach, that part of the game, that Magic Larry time period into MJ. I mean, he's the greatest. And I'll never forget my dad telling the story. He was sitting at a table with Larry Bird, Danny Ainge, several other Celtic All-Stars, and Larry Bird had just won the MVP, and my dad said to him, you know, so, dude, what's that like? You know, you're the best player in the NBA, or and Larry kind of like didn't shush him, but he was like, whoa, don't get it twisted. The best player in the NBA is that kid in Chicago. And he was only a couple years into the NBA, and you're in his prime. Larry Bird was already referring to that kid in Chicago as the best player in the NBA. I just think that's pretty powerful, and he truly is. He's the greatest of all time. I can't wait to watch the documentary.
It's going to be 10 parts, and it chronicles the final championship season for the Bulls in 1997-1998. The Bulls allowed an NBA entertainment crew to follow them around for the entire season, but most of the footage has never been seen. This was the first time they've actually made a documentary out of it. There was a one-hour championship video that came out after they won the championship, but they were there for the entire season. They've interviewed multiple members of that team, and if you know Michael Jordan, he doesn't give a lot of interviews on anything other than the current affairs of the Charlotte Hornets. And so getting him to sit down for this was huge, and this is going to be a great thing. And like you said, for people that are our age and maybe a little younger, we remember, but I hope that this current generation pays attention to the greatness that is put on display in this documentary to fully appreciate how great Jordan and the Bulls were in that era and in any era.
I mean, just so intense. Winning, the art of winning, everything that goes into it. I mean, these guys, okay, MJ, yeah, greatest skilled player of all time, whatever. That is not why he is the greatest player of all time. He happens to have been the most skilled. He used to work at, before weightlifting was even super popular, MJ used to lift weights on game day. He would, I mean, his, like so far ahead of their time. You know, there's the stories of them having a disagreement and, you know, in the fist fight, you know, between MJ and Steve Kerr. And, of course, Steve Kerr losing that. And the complete intensity. Like, everyone thinks pro athletes are, you know, that's kind of like what they should be like. And I'm telling you, I've been around a lot of them in the NBA and in the NFL. It is not like this documentary is going to be. That's why there's a documentary that we're talking about, that we would be talking about like this, whether there were or were not live sports going on. They could release this thing in February, come Super Bowl time, and you know what we'd still be talking about? This documentary.
Jordan played 15 seasons in the NBA, was an All-Star every year except for his shortened season when he came back from baseball. But in 15 seasons, he won the scoring title 10 times. Was league MVP 5 times and finals MVP 6 times.
He's the greatest of all time. Like, give me a sport, compare him to MJ in basketball, and I will make the argument that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. I don't care what sport, and clearly he is in basketball. I mean, what LeBron's done is great, you know, that's cool and all. Tom Brady in football, yeah. But there's never been a guy like MJ in any other sport, and I don't think there ever will be. I can't wait to watch it, dude.
It's going to be a great opportunity, and I think it's like sports. It's going to be an opportunity for everybody to sit down and kind of be watching and tweeting and talking about the same thing at the same time. Another
Which
little
will
community
be fun.
Thing. April 19th is the debut. April 19th, The Last Dance, a documentary on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. When we come back, we'll find out what we learned today, including a new commitment for Tennessee. Football, they're on commitment watch for another today. A big anniversary for Tennessee sports as well. All that and more coming up on the other side on the Eric Haines Show.
If you have diabetes or other immune issues, they can get you a booster for those. Self-pay is welcome. Again, may go under insurance as well. Call for details. Find out more online at Regen, R-E-G-E-N, RegenComplete.com.
I learned Tennessee has a new commitment from yesterday. Running back Jalen Wright, class of 2021. He's from Durham, North Carolina.
Speedster.
Record of 10.84 seconds in the 100 meters. Plans to play football and run track at Tennessee.
Good for us. Good for him. I think that's a great fit. Listen, we talked about it when it happened. Speed, speed, speed. That's what makes the SEC better than all the rest of the football conferences. The Power Five, or that's what makes the SEC the best, and it is speed. Even our slow teams in this conference are faster than most of the teams in the other Power Five conferences. So, good for us for getting a speedster. Get him the ball, see what he can do.
Absolutely. It's a great pickup for Tennessee, and they are on commitment watch for another speedster wide receiver out of the mid-state a little later today. That announcement coming down at about 1 o'clock. It is a big anniversary as well, Eric Ainge. Rick Barnes was hired on this date 6 years ago.
Real? Is it 5 or 6 years ago?
This was his fifth season, I believe. So that would make it 6 years ago.
That's crazy, dude. It seems like he's been here forever. I mean, to you, does it seem like Rick Barnes has been here that long, or does it seem like he's been here longer?
You're right. It was 5 years ago. He's been five seasons, but this was 5 years ago today. It feels like he's been here forever, but I think that part of that was the dysfunction of Donnie Tindall being the coach for less than a year and making a Sweet 16 run the year before.
The way that the Konzo era ended, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so those things are those things do make it a little, I don't know, it makes it feel like it was both longer and shorter because of the success they've had. But happy anniversary to Rick Barnes.
Hey, you know, people think what they think about Dave Hart, and it is what it is, but Dave Hart did give us Rick Barnes, and people think what they think, and it is what it is. About John Curry, well, at least John Curry delivered us an elite baseball coach in Tony Vitello. And now you got Philip Fulmer at the helm, and I think he gave us a really, really good football coach that will continue to prove himself more than worthy of having this job that he's got here, and Jeremy Pruitt. So something from all of them.
Yeah, somebody else celebrating a fifth anniversary this week is somebody who will join us on Thursday, and that's ETSU head coach Steve Forbes.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Steve. You know, Brandy Sanders brought him up. And again, if you missed that, check it out at 991thesportsanimal.com. You can check out that interview there. And hopefully a ton of people there listening on AM 640 WXSM on the Sports Monster in the Tri-Cities got to hear that. And if not, you know, again, podcast it. But it's such a cool thing for me, selfishly, to get to talk to one of my old coaches. And, you know, he mentioned Randy Sanders in that interview, dropping me off in his white pickup truck, feeling really, really good about the future of Tennessee football and me keeping my word and all those kind of things. And if I could go back in that in that time, knowing what I know about how recruiting really is and was, I would have done even more to reaffirm that I knew where I was going to go spend my college football days. But you talk about, like, just one of the realest, just best dudes who, you know, regardless of brand or what people think or play calling or this or that, when you had Randy Sanders here, you had, and he mentioned family, but he was a part and will always be a part of the family. He was so amazing and at representing the Power T and everything that fans care about. Is he the best play caller ever? No, of course not. I do think he's one of the best young quarterbacks ready to play guys in all of football. But you got a guy that no matter what kind of Tennessee fan you are, you ought to be proud that Randy Sanders played, you know, was here as a player and as a GA and as a position coach and as a coordinator and some of the good times, some of the bad times. But man, he always represented that Power T the way that you would have loved if you were a fan on the inside and you got to see kind of what was said and how it was talked about and his love and affinity for this program in this area, part of the country. Just he's awesome, man. I love him.
Yeah, it's been great. What else did you learn today? Because I learned that you cannot put a spray bottle of alleged coronavirus on a PetSmart and not expect to get arrested.
I mean, come on. The guy got offended because people – I had a teacher of Fallon's deliver some packets of information to our house yesterday, and my kids were in the back of my pickup truck with me. She parked on the road. She set the papers on the ground where I picked them up with gloves and did the best I could to, you know, with it's paper. You can't go, you know, soak it in disinfectant or you'll ruin it. But I sprayed it with Lysol and did everything else I could, and we were more than 6 feet apart the entire time. I mean, you can take this thing seriously and not be offended. I mean, how soft is that guy? Well, you, how dare you disinfect the handle after I touch it? I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah, everybody's doing that.
I learned that MJ's coming soon. Last year. What's it actually titled?
The Last Dance. April
the Last 19th. Dance. Yeah, the Bulls last season, 97-98. That documentary's coming out early. Good for ESPN doing that. They announced it on Good Morning America. I can't wait for that. That's one thing I learned. And, Tennessee football finding a way to continue, like you said, to finding a way to continue to recruit through this tough time. And we'll get more information about how everything's going from an actual teaching standpoint, from that 2 hours that the coaches are allowed to have, from an actual football standpoint on Zoom and FaceTime with the kids. And AJ Artis, I believe is his name, one of the Tennessee football strength and conditioning coaches, that he's been putting out videos, stay home, stay swole, different things you can do at home that have nothing, you don't have to have weights. You don't have to have a weight room or anything like that. They're putting out stuff that you can do, that the players are obviously getting themselves. And it's kind of fun for fans to be able to see it, too. I have a couple buddies that have that are doing all the stuff that that the Tennessee football strength and conditioning coaches are putting out there. And they're doing that stuff as well. It's just, listen, we're all making the best we can of a terrible situation, the pandemic that is the coronavirus in the United States of America. So we're doing the best we can with what we got, like we always do here in America.
Yeah, and coaches are finding a way, and we'll find out if Tennessee has another member of this class coming up at 1 o'clock, because as Ryan Callahan told us earlier in an interview that you could hear at 991thesportsanimal.com, Tennessee getting most of its class done before this spring and summer evaluation period that we don't know is going to exist could be a huge thing for them.
Yeah, and you don't know exactly how much these kids would have blown up. We talked about it before Callie came on, and then when Callie came on, he kind of reiterated that. It's, you have some guys, okay, they're 3 stars, or the offer list is what it is, but you don't really know what would have happened to them. And we see examples of that every year where through the camp circuit and the spring eval, summer eval time, the kids blow up. Some kids go from not even having offers to having Alabama offers and Tennessee offers. So you never know what you're going to get here. But hopefully at 1 o'clock, we find out that we're getting a talented wide receiver from the mid-state.
Absolutely. We'll have that news and much more tomorrow. We'll see you then starting at 9 in Knoxville, 10 up in the Tri-Cities. We'll see you then. Joel, thank you. It's the Eric Ains Show.